And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family was really intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
I remember
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
Time once again for stories from Ex-Fabula on WUWM. Leah Delaney, the co-founder and executive everything at Ex-Fabula, has joined us once again. And almost top news tonight.
Top news. Well, I guess we have a couple topics to like look
yes,
at.
Yes. The first thing I wanted to say, though, is
yes.
We are moving.
Yes.
And we're still going to be here, but at a different time. Not Wednesday nights, but as part of Lake Effect Weekend on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll have the Ex-Fabula stories for you. Better time on the weekends during Lake Effect. So that's fun.
At 3 o'clock, correct? 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock on Saturday and
sharp.
Sunday.
So if you're on your way to Trader Joe's, just flip us on the radio dial and take a listen to more stories.
You got it. Yeah. And tonight, oops, I forgot what it was.
Yes. Hardy har hard. So, yes, the theme tonight is a preview to Oops. We have another event coming up, a story slam. We're welcoming all of Milwaukee to show up to either tell their 5-minute real true personal story or to sit back and relax and listen. But the story slam is happening on Tuesday, March 10th at the Lucille's Piano Bar. Believe it or not, we are telling stories there. We actually showcased there last year for the first time. And I got to tell you, the space is really great. It's beautiful in there. You just have to kind of like push your way around those huge pianos.
Pianos, but... yes. And no pianos involved in the storytelling. You can look at them, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't break out the piano solo. So we chose a couple of stories that are like they fall under the Oops umbrella. And we're going to start out tonight's show with a story from a gentleman named Drew Braille. And he told a story at our All-Star event, which was back in 2010. It was our first All-Stars event, actually. Hmm. And the theme of that night was Epic Fail. So you can imagine there would be a little oopsing going on in here.
Definitely.
Let's listen to Drew Braille's story.
When I learned that the subject matter for tonight's entertainment was Epic Fail, my first problem was one of choice. In an embarrassment of failures in my lifetime, I had to decide which one I was going to trouble you fine people with for 10 freaking minutes. But luckily for all of us, I realized that the word wasn't failure, it was fail, which has a rather more specific meaning in certain circles. I mean, if you type the words epic fail into the little window on YouTube, you don't get clips of people losing their houses or their jobs or their marriages falling apart. You see a lot of young men falling off their skateboards and hitting one another in the face with basketballs and things of that kidney. Blunt force trauma administered to the face and groinular area. And I thought, well, that's easy. I mean, blunt force trauma in my life I can talk about much more easily than that other kind of trauma. So I'm not an athletic person, as you can see, and as anyone who knows me will attest, I've never been athletic. And I think part of the reason for that is the continual application of BFT to my head when I was in my formative years, which taught me that running was dangerous. There was a time when I was 4 years old, and it was a beautiful spring day, and we had taken off the storms, and they hadn't put the screens up yet, so you could stick your head right out the window and look down to the ground, which I don't fall out of the window. Which was something I'd never seen before. So I was running through the house in the way that I always ran when I was four, which was like this. Because I was very excited, and I would look out the window in my room, and then I'd run down the hall, you know, to the window in my sister's room, and then look out and run down the hall again to the window in my other sister's room, and you get the idea. And I was having a hell of a time, at least until my older brother, Joe, who may be here tonight, thought it would be funny to close a window in front of me, which he did. And so, running as I did, I didn't see it, and bang went my four-year-old head through the window. Lots of broken glass, lots of consternation, and the germ of an idea planted in my young brain. And more than a year later, I was in kindergarten. I was running on the playground at Rawson Elementary, and I thought I would duck and run through a piece of playground equipment, which is really just a length of culvert pipe about 3 feet in diameter that had been cemented to the playground and painted gay colors, you know. Duck, run through. I didn't duck quite far enough, so I caught my head about right here on the top of the culvert pipe, going full blast, copious amounts of blood, 7 stitches. I have a scar that you can still see when my head is shaved. And lesson learned, don't run. And I haven't much ever since. Now, neither of those stories, although they do involve blunt force trauma, is really very epic. I mean, an epic fail means that you have to be trying something audacious and fail at it magnificently. And I'm not sure I have a story like that, but I will tell you one that at least changed my life. When I was a grad student in Delaware, I got a job at the Colorado Shakespeare Festival for the summer. And, of course, I'd fly out in May and fly back in September. And one of my teachers asked me if I wouldn't mind flying under her stepson's name so that he could get the frequent flyer miles, which I didn't care about. It was against the law. But I was young and cavalier, and so I said, what the hell? So we made the reservations, round trip, in her stepson's name, which I can't remember, but I know it was something kind of exotic. So for the purposes of the story, I'm going to say it was Armand Nahasapima Petalan. So I fly out as Mr. Nahasapima Petalan and do a summer's with a Shakespeare. But I was stupid when I made the original reservation because I had booked a flight at 7:30 in the morning on the Monday after the last performance. And after the last performance is the strike, and after the strike is the strike party, and everybody stays up too late and gets way too drunk, and I had no intention of missing that. So a couple of days before the last show, I called up the airline and I said, hi, this is Mr. Nahasapima Petalan. I am scheduled to fly at 7:30 to Philadelphia on Monday. Is there any way I can change that flight? And she could hear it ticking on the computer and she goes, ah, I see you, Mr. Nahasapima Petalan. Well, yes, we do have a 3 o'clock flight to Philadelphia with a 1 hour layover in Minneapolis. Will that do? And I said, that'll do fine. And she says, well, there's a $75 charge to change your ticket. And I said, just bring the money to the ticket counter about 2 o'clock? And she says, yes, that'll be fine. I said, well, thank you. And she said, thank you, Mr. Nahasapima Petalan. And I hung up. Now, Monday afternoon comes, and I get a lift to Stapleton International Airport with my friend and roommate, who's Timothy Tate. And the idea is we'll get there early, switch the tickets, and then I'll buy him a drink in an airport bar, and then I'll get on the plane. So I go up to the ticket counter, and I say, hi, I'm Armand Nahasapima Petalan. I called earlier about changing my flight. And this woman, who's young and cute, and I'm afraid that's kind of important in this story, she ticks in. She goes, ah, I have you here, Mr. Nahasapima Petalan. It's changed from the 7:30 to the 3 o'clock with the one-hour layover in Minneapolis. And I say, that's right, that's me. And she says, there's a $75 charge for that. And I say, $75, that's cheap at twice the price considering how I felt this morning. And she smiles a little, and my friend smiles a little, and I very suavely reach to get my wallet. Now, when I fly, I like to have some cash with me, unless in case we, you know, crash somewhere that doesn't take credit. So beforehand, I had taken the trouble of getting $100, 5 crisp $20 bills, which I have right there in my wallet. And if I had given her 4 of those 20s, she would have given me $5 back, and that would have been the end of it in those more innocent pre-9/11 days. But for some ungodly reason, which I bet had something to do with the fact that I thought it might impress her, I pull out my American Express card instead. And I snap it down on the counter, and I draw my hand away, and I immediately get that sensation you get when you realize you just locked your keys in the car. My hand is hovering over the card like it's a chess move that I've had second thoughts about. But I can't snatch the card back because that'll be too suspicious. So all I can do is draw my hand slowly away and hope that she doesn't notice that the card says Andrew F. Braille and the ticket says Armand Nahasapima Petalan. Or doesn't care. I mean, money's money, right? So I stand there, perfectly still, and begin to sweat. And she looks at the card, and she's got the ticket, and she says, Mr. Nahasapima Petalan. I go, yes. I'm perspiring freely. She says, this card says Andrew F. It's Braille. Yes, I have this strange little smile plastered on the front of my head, and my eye pupils have begun to dilate already. And she says, but the ticket says Nahasapima Petalan. I say, yes, that's right. I'm an actor. And this is my brilliant, brilliant lie. That's my stage name. Nahasapima Petalan is my stage name. Now, I swear she's smiling a little. I mean, it's so obvious I'm lying, it's funny. But She says, well, I'm going to have to talk this over with my supervisor. And I say, well, by all means, go ahead. And she walks about 10, 15 feet down the counter, and they're talking together. Every once in a while, they look at me, and every glance is an organ-stung accusation. By now, I'm wiping my forehead with my sleeve, and I'm wearing a short-sleeve shirt, so it's... Now, I know I've done wrong. I know I've been caught. I just don't know what the punishment's going to be. My friend's trying to help me, but what can he do? Any minute now, airport security is going to come and drag me off to prison. And the worst part is that while my cell block mates are bragging about how they knocked over the Bank of England or killed some rival drug lord, I'm going to have to say that I'm there because I tried to fly under the name Nahasa Pima Petalon. So about 15 minutes later, she finally comes back and says, I'm afraid we can't allow you to use this ticket. And I say, oh, well, there it is. And she says, do you still need to fly today? And I say, absolutely. And she says, the 3 o'clock flight with the 1 hour layover in Minneapolis? And I go, I got to take it. And she says, well, that's a one way, bought this day of the flight, that's $325. And I say, oh, I don't have that cash with me. Can I use my American Express card? And she says, you sure can, Mr. Braille. So that's what I did. Now, this story, if it's epic, is not epic because of the extra $250. No story becomes epic for $250. The story is epic because it represents the death of an idea I had about myself. I had always thought that I would be able to lie to authority with impunity, that I could stay cool as James Bond, you know, that never give up the microfilm, you know, never let him see me sweat. Well, so much for that. The people on Concourse D could see me sweat. And just like all that youthful blunt force trauma taught me never to run, this little airport escapade left me scarred as well. To this day, I never see a policeman, but I flinch a little. Every time the lights go on and the squad car behind me, I assume they're coming to get me. And I carry 3 forms of ID with me at all times. And needless to say, they all say Andrew F. Braille. Thank you.
And that was Drew Braille with his epic fail story told back in 2010 that also falls under the oops theme.
That is well told. You can tell the guy is an actor.
He happens to be. Yes, he is an actor.
Well told. And I just love the made up name he had for himself as an actor. It's almost as good as calling yourself Pescawata Quadimagan. But that was good. I enjoyed that one.
Which is his close brother, I believe.
I believe so. On the theme of oops tonight.
Yeah. Click. Let's move along. This next story was told at our January event back in 2015. Not back in 2015.
This was way just back like, then.
I know.
Six weeks ago. That was a very good year.
So, Bruce, do you remember the moment where you realized Santa didn't exist?
Oh, do I ever.
Do you really?
Oh, well, I had the news broken to me.
Oh.
Quite unceremoniously, yes, on like Christmas morning one year. It was an accident, but it kind of happened. And
wow, that's a real terrible time to find out that Santa doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Unless it was like a couple weeks ago and then it was high time that it should have happened.
No, I probably was about 7, maybe 6 or 7, something like that. And it was just like, oops.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have said that.
This is a really, really fantastic story told by Jordan Reichert. And again, she told this story originally at our Who Knew event, which was way, way back in time in this past January. So let's listen to Jordan Reichert.
So it's Christmas morning, 1994, and I'm making direct eye contact with Santa Claus, who is standing in the center of my living room. My mom is on my right-hand side, and I keep saying to my mom, where is Dad? You know, Dad has got to see this for himself. And she looks at me and she said, well, your dad is upstairs and he's shaving. It's taking him really long to shave today. But I promise that once Santa Claus leaves, Dad's going to come and you can tell him everything about how you met Santa. And that's exactly what happened. And growing up until I was 12, this story was really more like a hazy dream. I honestly wasn't sure if it had happened. My parents never talked to me about it. I never talked to my parents about it. The only distinct memory I had of the day was that Santa had a rip in his suit on the left-hand side near the chest. So fast forward to when I'm 12, and it's a summer day. I'm home alone. Both my parents worked full-time. And I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience, but Being home alone when you're 12, it is the pinnacle of your independence. You feel like there is nothing you can't do. I woke up at 10:30. I went downstairs to the computer room. I participated in some illicit chat rooms. Used Ask Jeeves to search for pictures of naked people. It was great. And I still remember what I was wearing. I was wearing an oversized Backstreet Boys t-shirt with no pants on. And all of a sudden from upstairs, I hear the front door slam. And it's very alarming because it's only me and my cats at home. And all of a sudden I hear two very distinct voices. And I can't make out what they're saying, but they sound angry. And it sounds like things are breaking. So I'm panicking. And I kind of creep across the computer room to our house phone. And I use it to call my mom at work. And I say, you know, Mom, is anybody supposed to be in the house? And she says, no, nobody's supposed to be in the house. Is somebody there? And I said, yes, there's definitely somebody here. And she said, I want you, are you in the computer room? I said, yes. And she said, I want you to creep all the way in that closet in the back, and I want you to hide in the back of the closet, and I want you to call 911 with the phone in your hand. And I find that I'm snuggled against this red satin fabric. And I look up and I realize it's a Santa costume and there's a tear in the left-hand chest pocket. So all these memories come flooding back to me at one time, but I have to call 911. And I'm talking to this woman who's very nice on the phone, and she says, okay, the police are outside. We sent four squad cars to your house. I lived in a very sleepy suburb at the time, so home invasions were just not something that happened. And I hear the police outside, and they barge through the door, and the woman on the phone says to me, we see a Volkswagen in your driveway. Do you know anybody that has a silver Volkswagen? And I said, oh my God, is it Thursday? And she said, yes, it's Thursday. And I said, oh my God, that's my cleaning people. So I hang up the phone with her, and I sprint to the top of the steps. And as I get to the top of the steps, I'm looking at my kitchen table, and my cleaning people are face-planted on my kitchen table being handcuffed by police officers. And I'm waving my hands, telling them to stop. I still don't have pants on, so my underwear is completely exposed as I'm waving my hands. And I finally clear things up, and the cleaning people leave. They did not want to clean the house that day. The police officers leave, and everything kind of got straightened out. And that night, my dad came home, and I hadn't been able to tell my dad what had happened that day because he had been in meetings all day. He was super busy. And so the first thing my dad says when he walks in the door was, you know, how was your day today, Jordan? And I said, Dad, you will never guess what happened. And he said, what? And I said, well, I found out it was you who was Santa all along. Thank you.
And that was Jordan Reichert with her Who Knew story under the theme of Oops, which is our next Story Slam, March 10th. That's next Tuesday. That's going to be at Lucille's Piano Bar in Milwaukee. Old World Third, actually.
Sounds like fun. Oops has opens the door for a lot of clever stories, I think, because we have all had those moments in our lives when we go, oops.
So then you want to start singing Britney Spears, oops, I did it again.
That has not overcome me. I have not, have not had that impulse whatsoever in my life. I will tell everybody a reminder again, like we did at the beginning, that these little story times of ours are going to be moving to the weekends, Saturday and Sundays during Lake Effect at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So starting next week, you'll find us there.
Yes, sir. Double the fun.
And you can find everything Exfabula at
Exfabula.com, and that's Exfabula.com. I've been stumbling all over myself today. I'm sorry. I didn't eat lunch, everybody.
Let's get her some coffee and see what happens.
Totally.
All right. See you next week.
See you next week.